If you have your Bibles this evening, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we're coming to the last portion of chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is preparing to go back to Jerusalem. He's currently in what is the province of Asia in the Roman Empire. He has come from Macedonia up here down to Asia, which is located in this area. And he's come to the city of Miletus this evening. And we're going to be picking it up in chapter 20 and verse 17. As Paul is in Miletus, one of the things that you see is the city of Miletus is right here, and Ephesus is right up here. So they're not that far apart. But Paul has gone to Miletus. He did not go back to Ephesus. He'd been in Ephesus earlier, and he'd left there. But when he comes to Miletus, he still wants to speak to the elders of Ephesus. If you remember, Paul had spent much of his time on his missionary journeys in the city of Ephesus. The first Christians in Ephesus were probably led to the Lord by Aquila and Priscilla, who had gotten there before Paul, and on his second missionary journey. And we also saw that Paul had spent time there at that time, teaching not years, but quite extended time. And now this last time, when he'd come through there on his way, he'd spent 3 years there. And now he's coming back through, and having invested probably about 3.5 years in this community, he knew these people very well. This particular church, as I mentioned on Sunday afternoon, God gave them some tremendous teachers. Timothy was the pastor at the church at Ephesus for a while. And John, the Apostle John, was also pastor of that church, an elder in that church, towards the end of his life, as he settled in Ephesus at the end of his life. And so they had strong teaching. And Paul had been there 3.5 years, but Paul also understood the things that the church was going to be facing. God had revealed to the Apostle Paul that not only things that were happening in our time, that there'd be false teachers and there'd be those that would depart from the faith, that had proclaimed to be Christians, but really had never made the real commitment to the Lord, and that there'd be tremendous pressure from the world upon Christians. He also knew that this was coming in his time as well. He'd experienced it throughout his ministry. And would continue to experience it until the Lord took him home. The end of Paul's life, he ended up in prison in Rome, and we'll be looking this evening, Lord willing, if we have enough time, at a couple things that he shared in his letter to the Ephesian church from his prison cell in Rome. It's one of his prison letters. Well, Paul is on this journey. He's come to Miletus, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And so he wants them to come up to him at Miletus, because he's not going back to Ephesus, because from Miletus, he's going to take the ship and go to Rome. And so he's not going to go back up north again to Ephesus, but he wants to see these men one more time. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility in mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews." And so he shares with them and has them remember, it hasn't been an easy time for him in ministering there, but they are extremely important to him. And so consequently, even all the pain and suffering that he endured at the hand of the Jewish people, the Jewish men from the synagogues did not want to accept the gospel, and how they persecuted him and caused riots to occur in cities he was at, had him beaten, had him run out of towns, had him in Philippi thrown in jail. All these things he had incurred, and he would do it all again for the love of the gospel, the love of Christ, and the love of these people. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Now, I just want you to look at this because it shows you that Paul just didn't hold a service on Sunday. But whenever he had the opportunity to teach them, and there'd be people who would say, can you come to our house? And can you come over here and teach us and gather their friends? And people would go, as he says, from house to house, and he would teach them. And then they'd have their public gatherings where they'd have their times of worship, and he'd teach them then too. Why? Because he understood the importance of knowing the full counsel of God's Word. One of the things you see and one of the problems you have in today's churches in many areas is the full counsel of the Word of God is not taught. And oftentimes what is ignored is the thing that people need to hear the most. A few years ago, the evangelical churches were beginning to deny the authority of God's Word when it came to creation, when it came to Genesis, when it came to origins. And that begins to taint your whole picture of who God is, His power, His authority, and why we even have to have the gospel. And it impacted not only adults in the fellowship, but even more so children. Some of the evil things you're seeing happen in our nation, even what happened the other day, people say, well, why did it happen? It's because God has been totally forgotten. I was listening to a man today who was talking about he remembers going to high school in the late 50s and early 60s, and he grew up in a rural area, and the kids brought their guns to school to go hunting afterwards, and nobody thought anything of it because nobody ever would have done what happened at that school in Texas. They would have never dreamed of it. Why? Because, number one, they understood that they stood accountable before a holy and righteous God, and they also understood the importance of honoring and respecting life that God had given, and how that life was precious, and that men were created in the image of God. But when you have the church that begin to deny the authority of God when it came to creation, and then really begin to deny the fact that we've been created in God's image, it really puts a picture in the hearts of young people that life really has no value, and that they can do what they want to do. And it leads, this is the ultimate culmination. Another man called in to a radio show today, and he made a very profound statement. He said some of the same politicians that are decrying what happened in Texas and want to take everybody's guns away of law-abiding citizens are the same ones that have just got done voting that abortion should be legal up until the baby's ready to come right out of the birth canal. And so he says, how can they on one hand say that this is horrible, because it is horrible what happened, but then they do that which is just as despicable and say it's all right, it's legal. And that's what happens when you don't teach the full counsel of God's Word. In the day in which we live, the counsel of God's Word is being ignored when it comes to end time, when it comes to the rapture, when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to the fact that Jesus is returning again, and all the signs that we see in the world today are pointing to the fact that the day of His returning is drawing ever closer. And yet people are not called into accountability and called into the fact that they need to turn to the Lord. Paul wanted to make sure that the Christians in Ephesus were taught the full counsel of God. He was so concerned about it that he really taught day and night for over 3 years. 3 years this time, and a few months the other time he was in Ephesus, and so that they might know the full counsel of God. He goes on, and it says here, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks. And what did he testify? Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He called people to repentance. Today, did you know that the church, when they don't teach the full counsel of God, many people say repentance isn't important. We had some people that we met, and they were friends. Got to know them. But the fellowship they were attending says, oh, you can't call people to repentance. That's a work of the flesh. And I'm going, well, the Apostle Paul did. Jesus did. John did. Why? What's repentance? Repentance is a visible understanding that I need to turn from the direction I'm going and following the world and turn back to God and call on the name of Jesus. But Paul just didn't preach repentance, because remember, one of the things he always had asked, what he asked Apollos, what he asked some of the others when he would come, do you understand the gospel? And what have you been baptized into? And they would say, well, we've been baptized according to the baptism of John. That is repentance without the explanation of what you turn to, and that is faith in Christ. So we see here that the Apostle Paul says that I have also preached both to the Jews and the Greeks, all that would hear. I have preached these, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to turn from this world toward God and faith in Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, I don't know what's going to befall me in Jerusalem. I don't know what's for certain what's going to happen. But one of the things he's going to share with in just a moment is that there's a number of people that have evidently God had given them a vision or understanding of what was going to be happening to Paul when he got to Jerusalem. And it was going to be that he would be bound. It says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be bound, and I'm going to be afflicted. Is that what happened? Yes, it was. When he got there, and we'll see that later on, he was met with great opposition from the Judaizers and those that wanted to come against the gospel and the preaching of Jesus as Messiah and Redeemer and Savior. And they would seek to take his life, which would result in him being bound and placed in prison and eventually sent on the ship to Rome to face trial there. So this was foretold him by many people, but none of these things moved me. In other words, I'm not going to let that move my and stop me from going. I'm not going to let it stop me from preaching. I'm not going to let it stop me from proclaiming the truth. I'm not going to let it stop me from going where God's called me to go. And Paul felt strongly that God was calling him to Rome. And there's a reason God was calling him to Rome. It's interesting, later on in some of his letters, we understand that when he was in Rome and in prison, the first time he was imprisoned in the Praetorian by the Praetorian Guard. And that was a prison where you had some freedom, but you also had a guard that would be with you at all times. We know that when he was in prison, he witnessed to these people. And how do we know that? Because in one of his letters, he ends it by saying, greetings from the house of Caesar. How would the house of Caesar become to know Jesus Christ if it wasn't through Paul and other Christians like him preaching the gospel? Paul knew that he was called to Rome. God had directed him there. He had a desire to go, and he wasn't going to let these warnings against the fact that he was going to have to suffer on his way stop him from going. And we shouldn't let the things of this world get in our way of proclaiming God's truth and sharing his word with others. I want to tell you, you don't know the word of encouragement that you can share with somebody, how that even though your world may appear to be just having all kinds of problems, and in the world we're living in now, we can have all kinds. We can have financial problems. We can have social problems. We can have job problems. We can have all kinds of issues going on in the world. But if we keep looking to Christ and having words of encouragement in the face of difficulty, as the Apostle Paul says, we don't know the impact that can have on people. I had someone today tell me he's been encouraged by some of the things I've told him. And I didn't think I was telling him that much. But he says, wow, you know, I was so discouraged by everything that's been happening, but some of the things you shared about the fact of the rapture, the fact that Jesus was coming, the fact that the Bible knew all about this. that had been a great encouragement to him. And so you don't know, and Paul says, I'm not going to allow the fact that these things are being pointed out to me, I'm going to suffer these things to prevent me from going. He said, I'm going to continue to go. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life fear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry. His whole life was to be filled with joy and to minister or to be a servant to the Lord, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so Paul said, I willingly go and do these things because that's what I want to do. And now behold, I know that ye are all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Now, can you imagine what this would be like? Paul, God had evidently revealed to Paul, you're not going to see these people anymore. You're not coming back to Ephesus. In this world, you will not see these men. And Paul, that's why Paul called for them to come down from Miletus to see him and so he could talk to them one more time. And if you've ever had somebody that you've gone to visit and you had just this feeling, I'm probably never going to see them again. You know how that's can tear at you. And these people, these men that Paul had called, these leaders of the church in Ephesus, meant a great deal to Paul. He poured out his heart and invested his life in them to share with them the full counsel of God's word. And he knows he's never going to see them again. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Okay? Accusations that are made against me are false. And he said, I am no one will be going to be condemned because of what I have taught or because of what I have said. For I am not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And again, the importance of teaching the whole word. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So what is the purpose of these elders that he's got there? And what is the purpose of those that God has given the gift of teaching and being an elder or a pastor or a teacher? It's to feed the flock. What is my main responsibility here? It's to teach you, to feed you, so that when you leave here, you can have an understanding of God's word and you can take it when you go through those doors and live your life on the other side of those doors to the glory of God and be used by God to proclaim the gospel. And that God would be able to use you, that people can see in your life the joy of the Lord. That's the purpose of gathering together like we do here tonight. That people would, that you would have an opportunity to learn more about Christ, be more encouraged, and not be discouraged, even as Satan would come and try to discourage you. But rather that you could realize, as you've been taught from God's Word, the importance of walking in the joy of the Lord, walking in the power of Christ, and knowing that you have been called to this calling to finish your mission, just as Paul had been called to finish his. And he goes on, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which God, which the Holy Ghost rather hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now Paul knew about the false teachers. And the sad thing, as he's standing looking at these men, he realizes that some of them that are standing before him, that he poured his life into, would be the heretics that would come into the church at Ephesus. And how much that must have broke his heart, because he knew that the intent of those that would come in as wolves in sheep's clothing is deception and lies to destroy the faith of the flock of God. And, you know, I go back to the old cartoon that Gary Larson had. One of my favorite ones is he had a flock of sheep, and they're out in the pasture, and they've all got these stitches around their neck, and there's two wolves standing up on the hill talking to each other, overlooking these sheep, and they've got this, you can see that the stitches are really zippers, and they've got these sheep heads off their head, and one wolf is turning to the other as they've got their sheep heads on, and he says, "Aren't there any real sheep left in the world?" And really, that's the goal of Satan, to make sure there are no sheep left, real sheep left in the world, and that they're all sheep and wolves in sheep clothing, and they're all there to deceive. I also had somebody tell me something today that was very, it was hurtful, because you felt the pain for him as we were talking about our kids, and he said that his son, I said, do your kids go to church anywhere? And he says, "Oh, my son says he's not going to church anywhere because of all the shysters and deceitfulness that these pastors preach. There's no point in going." And that is sad when you have young people that don't see that the truth is found in this book, because those that say they're breaking the word of God are really using the people there as merchandise, or worse yet, are trying to deceive them to go into the other direction, away from the Lord. And it's sad, but it's happening today. And so Paul says that he knows that there's going to be these grievous wolves that are going to come in. And so should we allow them to destroy our faith? "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, what does he mean there? There's going to come people, and they're saying they come to minister, but they really want to make their own little kingdom. That's what he's talking about here. They don't really want to have a servant's heart. They want to be uplifted and really exalted over the people. And they says there's going to come in those that'll do that too. And they're going to come in from your own from amongst you, and will seek to exalt themselves instead of have a servant's heart. "Therefore," what's the answer? "Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." So as Paul preaches the full counsel of God, one of the things you do is you go back and you're preaching through the Old Testament, which Paul would be preaching out of, he'd be talking about Israel and about the false teachers that came there. He'd be preaching and teaching out of Isaiah, out of Jeremiah, where they talked to Israel and said and gave warnings to those that claimed to be pastors and those that claimed to be prophets and those that claimed to come in the name of the Lord but had only a desire to really serve Satan and line their own pockets. And those prophets warned them that the day of accountability was coming, but that if people listened to their message and bought that message instead of following the truth of God's word, that they were going down the wrong path. And so Paul had warned these people as he preached from God's word these very things. And he warned it with tears. That was the amount of compassion and love that Paul had for his people. And we need to have that same type of compassion one for another and concern and love. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. So how do we overcome the wickedness of this world? How do we overcome false teachers? How do we overcome those that would seek to use us as merchandise or use us as their servants or whatever their plan is, which is not according to the Word of God? He says it right here, that we're to be built up in the Word of God. We're to have the Word of God as the foundation of our life. We're to be built up in the power of His Word, and to realize that we have been given an inheritance with the saints, an eternal inheritance in heaven, and our main concern should not be this world. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I think of those songs that we sang. We sang one last Sunday afternoon. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And there's another one that we don't have in our hymnal that we sang quite often when I was growing up. Our treasure is where? In heaven. I've got a mansion just over a hilltop, and that hilltop is speaking of is the hilltop where we pass over into heaven, and that mansion is an eternal mansion, And why would I want to be concerned with the temporal things of this world and make that my longing? Paul also shares he didn't lust after being the richest one that was in the city of Ephesus. As a matter of fact, he didn't envy any of it. He says, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." In other words, he's showing them his hands, and he said, "I went out and I earned my money to take care of my needs. My goal was to preach to you the gospel and to teach you as once you came to know Christ so that you would understand these things. And so I have not longed for to be rich and wealthy in the things of this world, but I met my own needs through these hands. And not only mine, Paul took care of others. He was a minister to other people. The money he made not only went to feed himself, but to help take care of those that were with him. He was not looking to be taken care of by others. And I have showed you all the things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now this is coming in light of what he said some of those that are standing before him would do. And this is a direct message to them. Because they were going to seek, said some of you are going to seek to really, in another place he uses the term, make merchandise of the people that you're really ministering, that you can be exalted and that they will be your servants. And he said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And he says, I have tried to make that the example of my life as Jesus got nothing from coming to earth except to give to us eternal life and that which we could not gain ourselves. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And if you stop and think, these are the last words that Paul has with these people in person, is a prayer. And it'd be interesting to hear that prayer that he had for them. And I'm sure it dealt with God watching over them, God giving them wisdom, God giving them understanding, God using them. And we saw earlier that when he came to Ephesus, when he spent 3 years there, that all of Asia, all of this portion right here, of that portion of the world, the gospel was spread. And Ephesus was one of the main trade route cities, and people would come and hear the gospel, and they'd go out and take it, and it was spread throughout Asia, that portion of the world. And Paul is praying for these men, and then what happened? What is really happening when you leave? I remember a number of years ago, when our youngest daughter was living in Indiana, and it was like 14 hours out there, and we only would get there once a year, and so it would come time to leave. And mom would start crying, and our daughter would start crying, because we didn't know when we get to see each other again, because it wasn't like they were living down the block, or even where they're living now, which is 3 hours away, and if you want to, you can get there easily any day if you had to. But 14 hours is a long drive, and it usually be a two-day trip for us. And so there was tears. Why were there tears? Because there was this bond, and that bond was being, the separation was occurring, and you didn't know when you'd be back together again. Paul just got done telling these people, the Lord's revealed to me, I'm never going to see you again in this life. And can you imagine, as Paul has poured his heart into these people's lives for over 3 years, and now he's leaving and telling them that, the tears that are being shed as they embrace one another. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. And so he went to the ship at Miletus. We didn't get to Ephesus. I may talk a little bit about that on Sunday afternoon, because he does write and deals with this very topic that he was talking to them about, the false teachers, and the importance of walking in the truth when he writes to the church again in his letter from prison. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just be with us this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of having the full counsel of God, the importance of listening to your word, making that the foundation of our life, the importance of service and having a servant's heart, and the importance of teaching others and not seeking to be exalted ourselves. And Lord, I pray now that you just go with us and give us opportunities to be used in the week ahead. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 684. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with the pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there, on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there. Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sins of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there, on that page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city, with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure firmaments white, where no evil thing cometh to despond what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there, on that page white and fair. In the book of thy kingdom, yes, my name's written there. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with everyone that's here tonight and realize that if we've accepted you as our Lord and Savior, our name's written there. And Lord, help those that may hear this, that haven't accepted you, that their name would be written there as well. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.